Wait, are we live?
Live. Go.
It's your show.
No, it's your show. It's 79.
No, we're on 78. Oh, dear. This is... Oh, dear. Good morning, everybody. At no point in the last half an hour, Aaron, have you pointed out this is my show? It's not my fault. Look at the script. It's got number 78 written on in your name. You've not changed the script. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Ask the Accountant, episode number 79, on the 29th of April. I had to check my date and everything, because my script's not up to date, Aaron. Tell you what, guys, you cannot get the staff. Yes, good morning and welcome to Ask the Accountant. It is Monday, the 29th of April. This is episode number 79. We are live on all of our favourite social media channels.
And don't we know it?
And, of course, all of our amazing audience are joining us. I can see them all streaming in, commenting on our professionalism right here, right now. But yes, and of all, as always, I am joined by Mr. Aaron Patrick, my co-host who can't update a script.
Hello, buddy. Sorry about that one. We'll obviously be bringing that into the appraisals season going forward. And punishment will be swift for this one, because I feel like you guys deserve more. But yeah, it's been a good weekend. Yaron, what about yours? It's been good. Oh, obviously, we have to talk about the fact Derby County. Oh, I can't figure this one out. There it is.
I wonder nice what that stain on your shirt was.
Nice little promotion. So, yeah, it's been good. It's been good. What about yours, Jan? How's the weekend been?
Your favourite football team gets a promotion when you get demoted.
Yeah. I think the jury's out for whose fault that was. I mean, you
could... Number 78, and it had your name on it. So your fault. Yeah, I had a good weekend. Loads of time sat watching TV whilst rebuilding the Client Engager Help Centre, because we're moving it onto a new platform, moving our support emails onto a new platform so we can be more responsive, if you can be more responsive than we already are, but also to collect more data to help us develop things better in the future. It also future-proofs us the future as well. It was quite dull, if I'm honest. 135 articles to copy and paste and videos to link. But we got there. And you know what? It was better than watching that weird thing that my wife... We're watching My Little Reindeer on Netflix. That was weird.
Like, I still think it's good. It's just weird. Yeah, it makes you think. But I think it's good. It's good. And it didn't have Edinburgh Fringe in as well, didn't you have all that?
Yeah, like, it's a bit too close to home for my liking. Like, I don't like to think of that kind of thing happening around, down the street from me.
Is it literally down the street? Did you know any of the locations or anything? Or
I knew of the pub. Like, to be fair, that pub is in the back end of Leaf. It's pretty rough. So that kind of behaviour doesn't surprise me. But yeah, it was a bit weird. And I feel like because I wasn't quite paying attention to it, because I was busy rebuilding the help centre, I kind of feel I probably missed some stuff which made it even weirder to me. Like, one minute he's chatting up Martha, the next minute he's on a date with what's her name, and it's like, oh my God, I can't keep up. So yeah, that's the risk of watching anything while you're busy working on Client Engager, though. So yeah.
It's all well and good us sat there, sitting there in front of the TV and stuff with our laptops, but it is difficult, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. We might be productive, but we probably miss key facts.
Question though, you've now started to see the light in ticketing systems and how powerful they can be. How likely would it ever be that On Point Accounting gets a ticketing system?
Well, it depends on whether Client Engager gets a ticketing system. I would argue technically there is a ticketing system in Client Engager already, in the form of I've got an email, I can turn that into a task.
Yeah.
I've had a phone call coming in, I'm logging that time, I'm going to create a task off the back of that. Yeah. So there is a roundabout version of it there, but we are looking at what else we can be done. And that's the beauty of us using. So we're moving on to Zendesk. We were on Front. Front is a fantastic email management system, and it tracks all your response times and everything. That's great. And we've already been a bit inspired by that to try and deliver something like that in Client Engager in the future. And then already using Zendesk, we're sat there going, oh, that we could probably do that quite easily in Client Engager, and that would be quite cool to have. And yeah, so it's all part of the market research, isn't it?
Because I mean, I I've said a lot of times, but yeah, ticketing system for us has been one of the biggest like changes we ever made and one of the most productive we've ever done, because just that thought that I can look in and go, you know what, it took us 32 hours to apply to that ticket. Why? You know what I mean? Like that, just that little bit of insight there can be huge for making it a thing. And we do our KPIs based on it and everything. And yeah, and that confidence that you're not going to drop the ball, because yeah, we can go in and have a look and see how that ticket, who passed it to who, and why, and all that audit trail is just, yeah, it's a stats dream. It really is.
Yeah, no, I completely get it. And from the analytical point of view, obviously, Client Engage's task system isn't a ticketing system. But yeah, never say never, especially at the rate we're developing. So yeah, we shall see. So of course, this show is not this show without our wonderful audience. So let's say hello to everybody. So we've got on Instagram, I've got the Ethical Bookkeeper and Flourish Accountants joining in. I have to keep an eye on a separate screen for any comments coming in from them, though, because StreamYard and Instagram don't talk together very nicely.
It's like Meta doesn't like us at the moment, isn't it?
I hate Meta. Let's go through the other comments, though, that I can see on this screen. So good morning to Paul. Good morning to Cheryl. Cheryl saying, yes, you're live. I was like, oh, crap. I think that was really smooth, as Paul says. I think that was very professional. We did it really well. Good morning to Natasha. Good morning to Kirsty. Paul's team, Pompey, also got promoted.
Beat us to it. Yeah, they were top of our league and we were second. So what can you say?
There you go. So is that Derby and Portsmouth back into
the championship? Yeah, no, championship. Sorry, we'll get to the seasons. That's good.
I mean, last time I paid attention to the Premiership, they were both in the Premiership. How many? What's that? 3 or 4 years of just constant plummeting to the bottom that you've had?
Yeah. Well, last time we were in the Premiership, we played Pompey first game of the season. And for one brief second we were top of the league, because we were the first to score in that season, like first one. We ended that season as record lowest ever points that's ever happened in the history of the Premier League. So we don't like talking about that season for some reason. I wonder why.
Yeah.
And Pompey was the only team I think we got a point, or one of the only teams we got a point against. So yeah.
Jesus. Good morning to Suzanne Jack. Good morning to Kirsty. Do you think... Okay, I'll come back to that in a moment, Kirsty. Oh, are you happy with Paul Warren now? I don't know what that is, Aaron.
Oh, me. Good. Sorry. Yeah, I
thought, come on, mate.
I thought it was in Paul W. I was like, Paul W. Yeah. Yes. Very, 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 very happy.
Suddenly justified himself, has he? And Kirsty says, do you think from a customer point of view, they feel more supported if they have a ticket number? I don't know if it's about the ticket number. I'm not convinced that me receiving I'm more pissed off that I've got an email telling me that we've got your email and here's a ticket number. I just feel that's just a bit unhuman. I don't like that personally.
One thing I do like, though, is, and not all ticketing systems do this, and we don't have ours enabled, in fairness, but when there's that opportunity to have a portal where they can go in and see where their ticket is and what status it is, and that could be powerful, right? I'm not sure for accounting it's going to be all that good. Although we also use it for our Builder Boffic's email address. So that's where people send in their invoices and bank statements and all that, you know, the client data.
Yeah.
So having it there is really would be quite powerful, right? Because then you could log in and go, oh yeah, they have processed that bank statement, or oh, that's weird, they've not processed that, or I thought I'd already, I'm sure I've already sent this in, they're asking for it, oh, here it is. So, you know, it keeps you accountable, doesn't it? So that element of it could be quite powerful, and then those ticket numbers kind of flow through from there.
Yeah,
but I think you're right, like it almost feels too automated, doesn't it, if you're not too careful? It's like you said, it's a machine over a human.
Exactly. So like, the reason I like a ticketing system isn't necessarily to make the customer feel better, because I don't think it does. It's so that we are collecting analytics and dealing with things properly and improving upon our own selves with that information. And when a client turns around and says, oh, it takes you forever to respond to anything, I can go, it bloody doesn't. Here's the facts and figures.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, and batter them with that proof. So I don't think it's about a ticket number at all. I think it's just a internal system that doesn't need to be client facing at all, that just helps us manage and monitor tickets and progress. And, you know, it might be a staff member's just absolutely slammed and you need to step in and take a ticket off them so it can be dealt with quicker. That's what I think a good ticketing system is there for.
We base our WIP. So our WIP is our work in progress meeting every week where we sit down and that's exactly what it's for, right? You see how many tickets each person, they even have to go through their tickets and provide updates on them and everything else. And that's what I think it's for. You know, we would never do it, like, and you would never do it. I know you wouldn't, but there are people out there who could see ticketing as an opportunity to base their whole pricing structure around, right? Yep. You get 10 tickets a day, a week to talk to a client or whatever, you know what I mean? You can monetize that, right? So,
there's other things you can do with these things. Like you could set a response time for each client. So if a client's only paying you for bronze support, then the ticket keeps getting knocked down while there's silvers and golds in front of it.
The priority, yeah.
And, you know, you can do all sorts of with that very automatically. And it's not something we want to do in my firm, but if the others do it, then that's fine. That's what we're building the pricing calculator to deal with next week, in the next few months, is so that you can have free tier pricing. And if that's an element you want to build in, then that's absolutely fine in the same regards to pricing a client based on AML risk or whether they prefer tea or coffee or whether they're a Pompey supporter or a Derby supporter. Like that's why we've built the system the way we have, so you can do what you want. It's another option that you could have by having that kind of tool behind you.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So good morning to Tina as well, who's joining us on Facebook, and LinkedIn user. So
live.
So long as it's not like QBO support where you get a generic email every Monday letting you know that you'll get another email next Monday.
I wonder if Clive's got the problem with the billing, because I've got exactly the same email comes every single Monday with my billing being wrong at the moment. But yes, frustrating, isn't it?
Yep. Okay, so we've all heard about AI in the States and AI failing and then passing the bar test. So in the States, to become a lawyer, you have to pass the bar test, and AI has already done that. And in the States, to be an accountant, you have to pass other tests, which AI's failed the first time but is now passed, is my understanding. Aaron, I believe you've been playing with AI and certification, and AI almost passed a certification for you without any input.
So full disclosure here. Yeah, full disclosure. So, Jan, you're using the ChatGPT natively, right? So you're using those guys. I've jumped on the Copilot, which is ChatGPT to a point, but basically with Microsoft branding all over it. Paid for, so, you know, in theory, that gives me access to the latest and greatest of ChatGPT. So the idea was that it's recertification season. I'm currently writing, or we've just wrote the course, the QuickBooks recertification. And I was kind of thinking to myself, oh, I best go see what else is out there in the recertification world. Keep myself recertified. And, you know, if I'm going to tell people to go and recertify, I best, you know, do it myself as well. And my zero had lapsed, so I was thought, you know what, let's get this done and dusted so I don't get told off next time I have a meeting with my BDM manager at Xero. So I went over to the Xero world. Should have read it first, because I'll tell you why in a minute, but yeah, I kind of shot myself in the foot. But I took the recertification test by copy and pasting into Copilot, effectively ChatGPT, so using AI. So every question that popped up, I grabbed the data, I copied it, I pasted it into Copilot, and I said, what would you answer to this? And we went through answering every single question that came up in the research. So have you done the recertification lately for Xero?
I've not recertified for Xero in about 4 years.
Okay, fair enough. So it probably changed quite a lot since then.
They've got all different fonts, different... Some bits are now bold that weren't bold.
Well, this is interesting, right? Their recertification had not a single extra feature, which was interesting. Like, yeah. But anyway, which is probably why ChatGPT was so close and Copilot was so close, because it got 72%, I think it was. So one question off, basically, from passing and getting myself recertified just by using ChatGPT and AI. Just for full clarification, I tried the same with the questions we had in QuickBooks, and I think it got two questions right out of the questions, or at least gave me insight to be able to answer two of the questions properly. Yeah, that's quite scary, isn't it? That at this point, 70-odd%, like one question off, you could recertify yourself with zero with just using ChatGPT.
Yeah. I feel like Xero need to put some more work into their recertification if it's that easy. Or they need to develop something that chatbots don't know about. Because let's face it, chatbots aren't the most up-to-date tools. but yeah, if the Xero recertification can be done that easily with a ChatGPT, I would argue that's a major problem.
Yeah.
But you may as well have one of your team pass the Xero certification, writing down all the answers, and then pass those answers around the rest of the team. That is pointless. Like that, it destroys all credibility and quality behind a recertification process if ChatGPT can do it.
Yeah. I mean, the place it was getting the information from, I imagine, was some like Xero forms or some forums. I didn't look too much into it. They were telling me where they were getting the information from. I imagine it, most of it is down to the fact that they've just not been updated in so long, because like you said, there's nothing to update on, right? Like there is just like historical data. So yeah, I was a little bit shocked by how close I was to passing just by not even using a single one of my, and in fairness to me as well, there were some times when ChatGPT was telling me something on those ones that I got wrong, and I knew that it was wrong, and I knew that that's not quite the answer. It meant this one. So it wasn't like it could have got 100%. Like if I'd have ran the whole thing again, because sometimes you get different answers, right? Like you send the same question through and it'll interpret it a little bit differently. I think it could have passed. Like it was just a look at the draw that we got one off and not the other one. So yeah, maybe next time we should try it with what they're calling it, Zama. What's it? Kaz? I don't know. Jax. Whatever, Xero, ask.
Just ask Xero.
Just ask Xero, yeah. Jax.
You would hope Just Ask Xero can pass their own certification, but I doubt it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure there's a point here that we should be saying that, is it really ethical that we're sitting these tests using AI? As bookkeepers and accountants, we're meant to be ethical people and doing things ethically and stuff, and yeah, all right, maybe. But actually, as a matter of principle, should a certification that dictates quite a few different things with Xero, like that tells you how high you're going to get ranked on your Xero advisor listing,
you get discounts as well with Xero.
Like Xero are very proud, as QuickBooks are and Free Agent are, to say, look, this person, if they've got this badge and stuff, they're listed here. Yeah, they know this product. Actually, they don't know this product. AI knows this product.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, ChatGPT failed the bar exam and the accounting exams over in America in the first round. A year later, it passed. So, I would speculate that Xero recertification next year might be passed by ChatGPT.
It could have passed this time. Like it was, like I said, it was a look at the draw. In fact, I'm frustrated it didn't pass, because little did I know I got one attempt, which meant then I have to do the whole course again. So yeah, two hours of my life gone down the drain. But
are you telling me you got zero value from that 2 hours?
I got very much zero for saying yeah. I mean, I know there's an ethical element there, but I do feel like, being the fact that I've helped write the QuickBooks certification, recertification, I kind of feel like I get a bit of a pass in terms of being a little bit more, trying things out and everything else. Because my whole plan was to just make sure I couldn't like pass the QuickBooks one with just that was where it started.
On QuickBooks, it only got two answers right out of how many questions?
So 30 now, isn't there? 30 questions. So
it got less than 10% correct, whereas it got 78% in zero. Zero, you need to step up your game.
I mean, in fairness to Zero, I must say that some of their questions are more varied. With our platform, in QuickBooks platform, we're only allowed to give multiple choice questions. And Zero were giving like statement questions and like you had to move things around. So it's a little bit more varied. But actually, I think that helped ChatGPT because then the question was, what's the statement? Yeah. And they were like, oh, this is a statement. Okay, I'll just follow that in. You know what I mean? Like it probably hindered it in terms of, because at least with multiple choice questions, like unless you're going to go and copy each individual one and say, is this right, which can take too long, like it was so a lot of the times with QuickBooks it was like, well, it thinks it's this, but those they didn't match with the answers provided, so do you know what I mean? Like that's where that becomes more powerful. So I did my free agent one not long ago as well, but I never tried to do that, but I wonder how free agent is. I feel like free agent's more of a, they're more interactive, right? And they've got a really nice interface for it. So I can't imagine that you'd even be able to properly do it, like properly test it. But yeah, there we are. If you want to get your zero qualification, get yourself some ChatGPT.
Was that 4.0 or 3.5 you were using for ChatGPT?
It'll be 4.0, won't it? Yeah.
It will be for Copilot, yeah.
Yeah, Copilot. Again, it was paid for version. So maybe you'll get a different result if you don't have a paid for version. Maybe it's like less likely. But maybe one day we need to do Intuit Assist trying to complete Zero's, what do you call it? And then we'll do Jazz.
Trying to complete.
See which AI is the most powerful in that one.
So here we go, Aaron. Considering that Copilot nearly passed that exam for you, does that mean you're retracting your comments about Copilot from last week and the week before?
Good segue. I am. He knows what he's doing here. 100%. Like, I jumped into the ChatGPT. If anyone's not listened to the last couple of episodes and some of the videos I've done on it, I jumped into Copilot very skeptical. I paid for it. I went for it. I jumped in and I turned everything on. One thing I was said was positive about it was how well it was doing things like Microsoft Teams and being able to analyze meeting notes and stuff like that, which, you know, as we said in the last episode, you've already got that cool solution that you're using that played. But I was really like hoping that it will take it a step up and it'll be like, right, well, it'll, if not match, at least it'll be equivalent to what you've got there in the meeting ones. But the fact that I then have access to this whole ecosystem of Microsoft, to me, felt like that was a better fit for what I would use it for, right? And I'd get more out of it. Hence why I was like, right, let's give it a go and trial it. Because in my mind, I'm like, well, it's got the bookings calendar, it's got emails, it's got everything. And what I was really excited for is it's also got Excel. Like, how cool would it be to work with Excel? And Copilot and Excel is a mess, doesn't work at all, doesn't do anything, right? Like, you can ask it questions and it's just, it struggles. But what I didn't know is there's a Copilot for finance. So I don't know why there's a whole separate Copilot to do a whole separate thing, but there is a Copilot for finance that does it, which absolutely is brilliant when it comes to Excel. I was trialing it out where I had two sets of data. I had sales invoices on one table and I had payments received on the other, and I was able to put into Copilot, please reconcile the two, and it went through and it matched up everything that it sees. It did a full reconciliation for me. It told me potential matches, and it had ones where in reality you'd probably say yes, it was correct, but it wanted to make sure, right? It wasn't 100% sure on this one, and it wanted you to say yeah, no, these were right, and it gave me a list of ones that didn't reconcile. And obviously, they're the ones that we're interested in, right? They're the problem ones and we want to go through. It gave me a little analysis. It told me out of the X amount of transactions doing this, it said there should be caution for this customer because this customer seems to always be not paying and all this, that, and the other. And it gave me this nice little breakdown of it all. I was absolutely blown away. And if we can figure out a way to be able to get this reconciliation to be more automated. So I'm thinking using QuickBooks as spreadsheet sync tool or something like that, where we could get the data into a place and get the data, you know, easily to be able to bring it in. I think this could be a real good use case here for how to speed up, you know, bookkeeping, basically. Like the idea that you can reconcile those things so much quicker and so much easier, it really does give me confidence to what AI could do going forward. Because we've always said, like, the big disadvantage of AI, it hates numbers at the moment, doesn't it? It doesn't know what to do with them properly. And I still don't think it's ever going to replace us for anything else, but replacing or at least assisting us in reconciling, like, that laborious work that no one really wants to do, and we can do far much more value for our clients if we do something else, that's where it becomes powerful. And really, really impressed. It was able to find all this data out, puts it in a nice organized form, gives me all these insights into it, and basically I was able to reconcile that in seconds, as opposed to having to, you know, do it myself and maybe a vertical lookup and do some if statements. And I could have done it with Excel and been really clever with it and tried to build it all in, but with this it was literally, oh, by the way, Copilot, can you reconcile these two? Yes, sure, done. That's the power, right? That's something that was really, really impressive. So yeah, I retract everything I said negatively about the fact that Copilot was rubbish on Excel. If this is what they're aiming to do, yes, 100%, I'm up for it. And apparently, I've not tried this yet, but that Copilot for Finance has access to other elements of the Microsoft ecosystem as well. Not sure how I activate it, but you can have it look at your emails and stuff, and it can tell you information about customers and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like, the idea they've shown here was, you know, if it notices that a customer's coming in and they owe you money, that it'll prompt you that, whoa, before you go off like answering questions or whatever, just be aware that this person still owes you money and is still outstanding. That's the sort of thing that you want AI to do, right? Like, proactively telling you that so-and-so's outstanding at the moment, or prompting you to say, oh, here's the answer to that query you got. By the way, also, can you settle my bill? You know, and do that. If you can provide an answer to someone and also like provide value and then ask for the money at the same time, that's got to be a good thing, right? That's got to be a more beneficial way of getting that money, whereas opposed to sending an email out and then 2 minutes later, oh, by the way, pay my bill. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah, I think that's the sort of thing that is exciting. I think that does well. So yeah, there we are, another retraction, another apology on Ask the Accountant.
And another one caused by Aaron Patrick. Okay. No, it sounds really powerful. I'm still really happy with ChatGPT as my AI choice. Mm-hmm. Now, whilst I don't have that facility of, well, I suppose I could probably import a spreadsheet and do reconciliation because that's what's powering Copilot, but it's also not something I do in my day-to-day work. So that's not a huge issue for me. But what I have been playing with that I've quite enjoyed is if you have the ChatGPT-4, I believe it's only on 4. Oh, no, it's on 5. It's on the free version as well. Okay. But if you've got the app, and if I put that up there, you will see, where's my fingers? There's a little headphone icon there, yeah? Well, if you press that, you can have a conversation with ChatGPT. And it's quite cool. Like, you can tell it's going to be a news reporter and that you want it to interview you on this topic. And at the end of that, you want it to take all your all those questions and answers that you've given, questions it's come up with, and the answers that I've given it, and generate a blog out of it.
Yep.
And, you know, for those of us that are, like, when I'm stood talking to somebody and they ask me questions, it all comes out. It's not an issue. When I'm sat there, I just go blank. And it's like, this conversation thing is really cool for that. It really helps just get the wheels turning. But yeah, so it's becoming more and more like having a kind of a PA, as it were. So, yeah, all right, it's not plugged into my emails or anything like that, and I don't think I want it to be, if I'm honest. But that's the latest little tool in the ChatGPT app from OpenAI, and I have to say I'm enjoying it. It's been, and it's also a lot more efficient because I just press that button now and I ask it a question and it comes back and it, I don't have to read the answer. Although it types it all out, it talks back to me. And it's quite a natural voice. So I could go, oh, you know, blah, 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 you know, tell me this, tell me that, or look at the, look into this for me. And it comes back and it has a conversation with you. And it's probably better than Alexa, which has just woken up now, bugger.
And you've probably woken up a load of us as well, but never mind.
Yeah, that's it. Sorry to everybody. But it's probably better than all of those kind of built-in voice assistant tools that I've ever dealt with in form of conversation. So it retains the information. It knows what it's asked you. It knows what you've just responded, and it responds back to you in a natural conversation way. So, yeah, very impressed. So if you've not played with that yet, guys, it's definitely available on the iPhone app. I don't know about the Android app, but it's definitely available on the iPhone app. Just look for the little headphone icon, press that, and you can have a two-way conversation with it.
Because it was promised to us, wasn't it? Like way back when Siri, oh, now I'm setting things off, and the other one was all kind of first introduced, right? It was this whole idea of why leave your device in your pocket and you can talk to them and everything else. And we all know that, like, in theory, it sounds okay, and in theory, it sounds good, but it was never, they weren't strong enough back then, were they? There wasn't enough, like, they weren't clever enough to be able to provide that service. But with what we've seen and, you know, the enhancements have already come to it, now we're definitely at that time, right? Like, there is going to be an opportunity for you to do this. What the kind of use cases that I would like to see that finally come to is things like you've got a trip, like you've got a business trip, right? A meeting maker comes in saying that you need to be at, you know, London for this date. Oh, can you block out my calendar? Can you, you know, reply to say, yes, I am going. Can you, you know, find me a train service that's going to get me there? You know, whatever. They're the sort of things that you want to naturally take that to, right? Because that's the bit that could be really, really useful for you in terms of making sure that, you know, things get done, right? Because we're all so busy these days, right? Like the idea of just being able to get that conversation going while you're doing something else could be really powerful. And it's just about being efficient with your time, isn't it? And that's where that could become quite powerful. It's not there yet, but I could see that being a clever thing. And then all it takes is then, you know, Trainline to get involved and hotels.com or whoever, like them ones to, and if you give permission for them to talk to one another, then they could start looking into things for you and everything else, can they? That's where I see the power of that coming through.
Yeah, definitely. AI is very exciting at the moment. I mean, we're expecting Apple to announce its AI solutions in, what, 8 weeks' time in June at their big event in June. So, yeah, look, AI is one of those that you've got to keep up with. You might not be using it today. Like, I don't know how many people would find that chat feature relevant to them today.
Yes.
But the more you test it and use it, the more relevant it becomes. So, you know, if you are sat trying to take information out of your head to write a blog and you're really struggling, but you know if someone wants to ask you questions about things and respond to those questions with more questions based on those answers, like we all do in day-to-day life when you're talking to a client, etc., then, yeah. No, it is useful. It's very useful.
Yeah. It is interesting, isn't it, how Apple, who kind of didn't revolutionize it, but they brought it to the forefront probably sooner than anywhere else in the form of the S word. Like they were pioneers in using this, because at the time it was a gimmick, right? And there's nothing more than that. And what's scary is that Apple, with all the resources, with everything they've got, they are behind massively in that race. That they, there's no doubt about it. Every other solution out there has overtaken that one and has come there. And all the rumors indicate that they're going to have a big step up and they're going to, you know, come to the part. And typical Apple, you'd hope and or expectation should be that they'll come along and they will throw down the gauntlet and they, you know, they'll bring something to the table that no one else has done. They'll come along and bring it not just up to par but better.
Yeah.
My worry is if the might of Apple and all the resources they've got and everything that they've got behind them are only just getting to par and, you know, coming to the table and there, realistically, your Jacks, your Intuit AI Assist, all of these ones, they're going to take a while, aren't they, to develop, unless they are, you know, utilizing Copilot or utilizing ChatGPT or, and like, if they're building their own from scratch, we've really got to temper our expectations, haven't we, at the beginning of what's actually going to happen, because these models take a long time to come to fruition, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that, they can only do so much when they're only plugged into so many databases.
Yeah.
So if you can plug in OpenAI, ChatGPT, or Copilot, whoever you're using, into your emails, your calendar, your Uber account, your Trainline account, your QuickBooks account, everything, then, yeah, that's going to be phenomenally powerful. But at the moment, everything's being built in isolation, so QuickBooks Assist is only going to look at QuickBooks. Like, ChatGPT can't talk to Uber. It can't talk to LNER or the Trainline or SeatFrog or anyone else to help book your tickets and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's only so much it can do. But as all those integrations come on board, it's going to get more and more powerful.
But in reality, what integrations would Xero have? Like Jax, like, surely that's limited by the fact that they don't really have an ecosystem. So, you know, they're only going to go as far as, here's your P&L. It looks good.
Or yeah, it has got a practice management tool built in. Whether it's on new enough technology to work with an AI tool, I don't know.
I guess.
You know, it's...
So, but it's not accountant focus, though, is it? It's...
No.
User focus, the AI tool is.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting couple of years with AI, that is for sure.
Do you see any benefit at the moment trying to shoehorn like Copilot for finance into your workflow, even though now it's very much a case of you're going to have to, there's going to have to be a certain workflow to get that into production, right? If you're going to use this for your accounting firm, if you're going to try and speed up your bookkeeping progress or your team's bookkeeping progress and stuff, is it worth doing that now, or should we just wait until the likelihood that these sort of things are going to come natively?
I think anything you do now is putting you a step ahead of your competition and your peers, because the majority of our industry aren't looking at this. They aren't talking. Like, they talk the talk at events and they all go to these sessions and listen about AI and they all get their minds blown. But actually, are they going home and doing anything about it? Probably not. So the fact that you and I are here testing Copilot and ChatGPT and the functionalities, whether they are finance related, like you've done your reconciliation, or me just be brainstorming with the conversational aspect, that puts us ahead of the rest. So any of our listeners and viewers that are even playing slightly with it, like, I know in the client engager community, we've got lots of people starting to use ChatGPT off the back of my video to help them write their letters of engagement, to help them write their services, schedule services, or rewrite their templates for emails. That is putting them ahead of the rest.
Yeah.
So even if it seems like the silliest, smallest of things, you're a step of the rest. And that's what's important, is you're keeping ahead. So, yeah, I think anyone that's not using it and listening in, create, you know, it doesn't have to be a focused thing. Like, I discovered that chat thing by watching some YouTube videos that I was watching and then playing with it whilst watching TV the other night. Like, people, I think people get these whole blink and go, oh, I've got to carve out time in my diary to play with ChatGPT, even though it's probably not going to have any benefit to me straight away. But no, you don't. Multitask. Like, if the husband or wife's got something on TV that you're not particularly interested in, like Home and Away or Neighbours or any the 18th time that we've rewatched Derry Girls or anything else for that matter, or even if you're home alone and you just put something on that's like Big Bang Theory or something you've watched a million times already, that, you know, it's nice to have it on in the background while you play with your ChatGPTs and whatever else technology-wise you're playing with. It doesn't have to be this dead set, blocked out window in your diary that everyone seems to think that they need. And it's not strenuous an effort, takes a load of effort. So it doesn't eat into your weekends or your evenings if all you're doing is sat watching TV. Like, you know, I was out the other day walking the dog, having a conversation with ChatGPT, brainstorming an idea, because I told it to play devil's advocate. You know, normally I come to you for that, Aaron, but I thought, I'm walking the dog, I'll just do that through one of my headphones. And like, that didn't take any more of my time up. It added some value actually to what I was planning out and thinking about.
So
I think just get on with it. Like, don't worry about carving out whole blocks of your day or anything like that. Just have a play with it on your phone instead of scrolling through Facebook or Twitter.
Like, yeah,
that's what you need to do.
I completely agree. I think the only thing we've got to be mindful of is, how do you bring it into workflows for the rest of your team? Like, me and you will play with it in our own time, and we'll, you know, have a go at it. We'll throw scenarios at it. We'll test it. Well, basically, we're beta testing it, right? Because we've done enough beta testing in our time to know what works and what doesn't, right? And what we can play with and what, how we can break things, basically, because that's what certainly I've become known for in the industry, is how to break something, right? But it's a different conversation to, let's have a play around and figure out, to, you know what, this has revolutionized the way we're doing. Like, maybe this reconciliation point here, is that enough of a wow factor to go through the, let's train our team to figure out how to put this in, to make sure the data's in the right way if it needs to, or how to, you know, how to get the best out of it. You know, in these sort of conditions, it works 100% of the time. In these sort of conditions, it's going to be a little bit hit and miss. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you need that reliability.
And is it worth now
getting the information into it? Yeah. So the time saving of getting the answers is worth the investment of time of getting the information in. Once you're at that point, you can then go to your team and go, right, this is how we're going to do this going forward.
Yeah.
These are things to watch out for, etc. Definitely. I mean, there are some things out there, like Todd, for example. My team all have access to Todd, Tax on Demand. Do they use it all? Does every single person use it all day, every day? No, not at all, because not every single person's exposed to the questions that they might need to put through Todd. But they've got access to it, and we've done some training on it, and they know what they can ask in it, and they know how to ask it, and they know what to expect. So that's just a little step in the right direction.
Yeah.
And it might be that actually that reconciliation process that you've now created, if you can refine that to the point that actually, here's an idiot's guide of, take this, put it in here, this is the instruction you give it word for word, and this is how you deal with the outcome. If you then time that and go, right, it takes me this long to put it in, but I know it would have taken me this long to do the job manually,
yeah,
and it saved me this time, at that point you go, cool, that saves me 10 minutes every time I do it. The team each do this on average 5 times a week. That's 50 minutes per person saved. It's going to take me an hour to train them. So actually, in one and a bit weeks, I'm going to be saving time in my team. At that point, you go, cool, roll it out.
It's a no-brainer at that point, isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, and that's the attitude we've got to take to this AI tool, is this, I need to refine it myself so I can roll it out to my team, or someone in the team needs to be excited by this and refine it themselves. And once they get to that point where there's a viable business case of effective ways of working, then roll it out. Absolutely fine. So yeah, that's, it's been a very AI heavy week, hasn't it?
It has. But yeah, we've got to keep on top of it, like you said. I mean, yep. If we're not in the forefront of what this can do, then we can't give the feedback and we can't go, oh, actually, that's a good use case. And that's what we need to do, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's just go through the comments and stuff quickly.
I think it was Lisa was the next one, wasn't it?
Yeah, Lisa, morning. That's probably me then, LinkedIn user. Okay, I think it was Lisa asking the question about QBO support emails. Cheryl thought, she said she thought you only had to watch the videos now. I think you've got to watch the videos every single quarter and answer 4 or 5 questions. Yeah. Or you do the whole retest at the end of the year. Is that right?
Yeah, so because I failed, I had to do the whole thing again. But you're right, the recertification. I didn't know there was some video. Maybe I
think they do a webinar. They do like a quarterly webinar with 4 or 5 questions at the end of it. And if you pass those 4 times a year, then you don't have to do the big retest, recertification test, which if you fail, you've got to do the whole thing again.
Right, makes sense. I mean, again,
convoluted and...
Yeah, and there's only so many font things I know, so I'd have really struggled to it. Maybe that's where ChatGPT would have been really useful for me, because...
Someone asked the other day in the client engagement community, like, what font is it you use for your emails and for this? And someone went straight in with, I think it's this font. And I'm sat there like, how the bloody hell do you know that? Zero user. They've had to recertify on what fonts they are and aren't using.
Yeah, they know more fonts than anyone, don't they?
Yeah. Memorize the Google font diary. I wonder if someone with no prior knowledge could pass qualifications using ChatGPT. Well, I think that is the case. It's happening. We've seen it in America. The ChatGPT passed the bar exam first time round. So technically, ChatGPT knows enough to be a lawyer. It passed the accounting exam second time round. It wasn't a convincing pass, but it was a pass. But that was always going to be expected because it can't understand numbers very well. This is language-based. It's not numeracy-based. But yeah, no, there's definitely, exam invigilators and coursework people are having to check students' entries for plagiarism of ChatGPT, like AI-generated content. That's what they're checking for. Although,
ironically, they use
a bit rubbish.
Aren't they using AI to find if it's AI?
Yeah. But I have gone into ChatGPT in the past and told it to give me a 600-word document essay on a topic, copied that into an AI fraud detector thing, and it's come back saying about 5% of this was written by AI. But I'm fairly sure it's 100%. So they're open to failing quite easily.
It's difficult though, right? Because like the whole point of it is to try and make it not seem AI generated. Scary.
Interesting. Matt Evans says, morning guys, I'm just wondering if you could give your opinion to the right time to move from sole traders to limited company for a reselling business. There we go, Aaron, this is one for you. The reason he's asking is he's thinking about to reduce personal liability, but I think it would generate a lot more paperwork and accounting costs.
Yeah, 100% will it generate more paperwork. At the moment, you're probably quite comfortable with filing one tax return each and every year, and that's quite simplified. Yes, that's going to get changed with MTD coming up in the next couple of years, but who knows if that's ever going to hit us and hit you and anything else. But for now, yes, you're right. You're a nice simplified process. There's very little to do in terms of other than getting that tax return in, and you'll be absolutely fine. There is massive benefits for going limited, especially if you've got second income or anything like that, or this is your second income. But you might want to just have that. I've done a whole video on when to move and what's the best time and everything else. So I think the best thing to do is just watch that video. But yeah, there's definitely going to be benefits for you. Is it going to outweigh it? Or depends on your personal circumstances. So what I always say is talk to an accountant, like use their free half an hour chat just to go through it and everything else, and you should be absolutely fine.
Yeah, definitely. I always say your personal liability side of things is perception of risk. Like, that's your own appetite of risk. So it's going to cost you X amount to go limited and maintain all the paperwork and stuff. Is that worth it to reduce that risk personal liability? That's a question only you as the business owner can answer.
Yeah, and what platform you're on as well. If you're on eBay, probably no risk, but if you're on Amazon, there's a huge risk, especially if you use the FBA solution. We've had some really horror stories. So, yeah. Cool. Yeah,
Good morning to Sue. Christina says the chat feature would also help with confidence when speaking. Yeah, definitely. Especially if you, like, the thing I always say about when you do speaking sessions is that you should give at least half of the session to Q&As, because that's where the audience really understands what you're talking about. Like, you talking to them for 45 minutes is neither use nor ornament. They'll probably not walk away with a huge amount of insight. Yeah. Whereas if you go 25 minutes talking to them and 20 minutes worth of Q&A, where they can ask their question in context of their scenario, and that, even though it was on the slide 10 minutes ago, you answer it in their scenario using their language, as it were, they walk away understanding. And if the Q&A bit's the bit that makes you nervous, then actually asking ChatGPT to quiz you on something could really help you just be a bit more confident. It's like, yeah, I do know what I'm talking about here. I do know how to answer these questions. So yeah, really good idea.
Yeah, great use case that.
Yeah, and Paul W says, I'd say 60% of my client engager templates are written with the help of ChatGPT. Yeah, like, I know 100% of mine are, because I did it. So it's a great tool, even if it's just saving you a few minutes from writing out a template email. Then fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
And the bit I always say is Grammarly is just the first step for it. If you're not using Grammarly, please have a look at it. I believe the AI stuff's free in it as well, but I think, I've got to pay.
Certain amount.
Yeah. But just the idea of, and I use it almost every single email I send out, it's just that tonal idea. Yeah. And the idea is you write your email as you would normally. And sometimes I'll send it exactly how I've written it, but also I'll just see, well, what is the tone if I go a bit more friendly or a bit more assertive, or what is it if I went a bit more professional? And they've got all these different tonal elements to it, and it opens up your eyes to, you know what, I was a bit harsh on that, or yeah, I need to get this point across more. That assertive way of doing it is actually what I need to be doing at this point, because if I don't, my client's going to end up not taking, you know, taking the advice, or they're not going to see the impact of it or anything else. I was so naive to how much that could affect, like, just your day-to-day responses to emails. So yeah, highly, highly recommend. If you're not using anything else, just grab yourself a Grammarly account. Pretty sure that tonal thing's in the free version.
I think it is.
If not, I'm sure there's a free trial of it, isn't there, that you could just jump on and have a go at. But do have a look at it. Like, it will completely make you rethink how you do emails going forward. And nowadays I'll write my email out, I'll push it into there, and I'll go, how could I improve this? And there's always something they'll find and everything else. And it means that you can have more confidence then that you're getting your message across correctly to clients, right? And I think that's so powerful. And yeah, if only that, like, for me, I just love for Grammarly to be more Mac friendly. It seems to be on the Windows side, you can have it access to literally everything you want to, and everything you write can get ready to send out. On Grammarly, you've got to be a bit more, let's open up Grammarly, let's post it in there, see what this says, and post it back again. But yeah.
Yeah, it's not as good on Mac at the moment. Hopefully, they'll improve that.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool. Okay. Well,
Siri's supposed to do in going forward. Potentially.
Right, theory. We'll see what happens. We'll see. Right. So thank you to Tom Herbert for shouting out articles for myself and Aaron in his weekly tech roundup. So if you don't tune in to it on LinkedIn every Friday afternoon, Tom Herbert does a Tech Bites short little video from him and the team at Accounting Web, where they summarize the new tech news of the industry. And he covered Client Engager's partnership with Todd. And he covered your one of your recent videos as well, Aaron. Which one was it he covered for you?
It was the one Nick Williams posted about me talking about tips and tricks for practice managers and practice management solutions. So, yeah, it was good. It was good. And to be fair, that video was almost a year old. Well, we filmed it about a year ago. So it's one of those where it's just been sat there. But I loved how it
utilized.
Yeah, I loved how it came out. The concept they thrown to me was what, and I never heard of it before, was hero shots. So there's a lot of me kind of posing as a looking up at a skyline of all this and the other. And at the time I was like, oh, this is weird. Like, what's happening? But it came out really, really well. Yeah. So yeah, no, I really liked it. But your news and everything else kind of a bit of a stir, wasn't it? There's quite a few people talking about the Todd integration and everything else, wasn't it?
Yeah, over 15,000 impressions on that post. So that was, it's exciting. And again, it's there, it's live already. It's gone live this morning. So we agreed to it last week. We announced it Monday and it went live in product this morning. So, and the beta testing in mine and Andy's firm's gone well with it. So
yeah, we use it all the time as well. Yeah.
Can make it even easier to access now, isn't it? So
yeah. And again, it's one of those things where if a team member's a little bit unsure, they can go and ask that one, get that one, plonk it in, and maybe then use Grammarly to make it more user, client facing.
Less HMRC.
Yeah, exactly. And use that tonal to put it more friendly.
Yeah.
And then, it's just using the tools you've got, isn't it? And going through there. And it's definitely changed it for us. And I'm really excited for their next steps, like when they go live and having to play around with those sort of things at Todd. I think it'll be really, really interesting to see what they can take that tool next to.
Yeah, very early days.
For something. Because at the moment, I'm not paying them for anything. So.
Yeah, it's very early days. It's a tip of an iceberg, but their plans are exciting, as are our plans with them. So, watch this space. And then, as you've already referred to, Aaron, I believe Wednesday is QuickBooks Recert Day. Mm-hmm. QuickBooks' recertification goes live for its annual recertification. Remember, is it until the end of June you've got to do this?
Yeah, it's end of June. And the first 300 people grab yourself some swag. So, yeah, I think personally, everyone listening should grab that swag, get yourself in there, first 300. You'll be doing it, won't you? I know you had a bit of a maybe not on the thing, but you're not going to miss out on the swag, are you? Come on.
Well, my office is becoming de-cleansed of swag and QuickBooks affiliated stuff at the moment because I need to be more neutral with Client Engager. We've got some interesting partnerships coming up, and from a Client Engager point of view, we have two types of things going on. We have integrations, which it's just plug in and get on with it. We don't partner with Microsoft or Gmail; we just integrate into them. And then we have partnerships where we not only do we integrate, but we're diving deeper. We're working together to work out how we can bring more value to our audience and what other powerful features we can do. So like Xenon Connect, we've got a partnership with them coming up, and that's going to be so powerful. It's more than just an AI thing. Xenon are building stuff specifically on their APIs so we can pull the information we want. And we're looking at what Xenon users are looking at and trying to pull that into us. And yeah, so that's a partnership. Integrations are Microsoft, Gmail, Xero, and QuickBooks. Like the only reason QuickBooks is only an integration and not a partnership is QuickBooks have got their own practice management solution. They're not going to want to partner with us and do stuff. And that's absolutely fine. But as the person that's looking after all the partnerships for Client Engager, I do need to be seen a bit more neutral than I am at the moment. So would the swag be displayed? Probably not. And also, I'm looking at what I do in my day-to-day role, and I do very little in the form of QuickBooks and stuff in my day-to-day role in my firm now. So do I need to spend that time recertification? Sorry, the dog's decided to go for a walk. Do I need to spend that time doing a recertification? Probably not. But that's purely, is that a good investment of my time? And at the moment, it's probably not. Whereas the rest of my team have already got it all blocked out on Wednesday, the 1st of May, at 9 a.m., their first job is recertification, full stop. No messing about. That's their job. Whether I do it or not, I don't know. But that's just due to a change of direction in my career and my focus being client engager and partnerships there and stuff like that. So, yeah, nothing against QuickBooks or anyone else. Just literally a forks in roads and choices having to be made.
Badges aren't as appealing to you anymore.
Not when I'm trying to catch
every badge I can.
You carry on with your Pokemon. One day you'll grow up. Anyone that uses QuickBooks day in, day out should be recertified. Full stop. Mm-hmm. And do not, for goodness sake, do not use AI to try and do it.
Yeah, let us do that and we'll report back.
Yeah, definitely. And Paul's just asked in the comments, am I surrendering my accounting council seat? I am not. I am transferring it to one of my colleagues. Because that's really beneficial to our firm to be on that council and seeing what's coming up and feeding back and stuff. So I'm not planning, I'll still be attending on behalf of my firm for a while, but the plan will be for one of my colleagues to start doing that as we go further and further into this journey that we're on. And Christina says she'll be doing the research. Brilliant. Anyone that's using any of their softwares, any software that's out there, if it does a recertification, make sure you do it because it's the way to keep up. Like the amount of people we've spoken to on the QuickBooks Roadshow where they come in and go, oh, it does that. It's like, it's been doing that for 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, did you not recertify? Oh, I didn't really see the point. It's like, recertification isn't just reminding you of what's already there, what was there when you last did it. It's there for the future, like what's coming up and what's been released recently. It's there to keep you up to date with the product, not just to remind you how to connect a bank account. It's really important you do the recertifications if you're using the product day in, day out.
Yeah, 100%.
Cool. Right. Well, on that note, we are overrunning. Aaron, have you got anything coming up this week of excitement?
This week is another week of just getting my head down, trying to get on top of everything so that the week after I've got some more exciting plans and I can get my head down to them. So just an admin week for me. What about yourself?
Yes, admin primarily. I've got the Client Engager Help Center to launch again, relaunch 4 months after I launched the last one. Lots of things going on at Client Engager and to continue pushing this pricing webinar that we'll be doing at the end of May. There's well over 300 people already signed up for that. So we will put the link in the comments when I find the link. If not, find it on my LinkedIn page. There's plenty of posts about it.
I think he's gone. Yeah, he's gone. Oh, he's back.
Am I there?
You're back. Go for it.
Sorry. Where did I get up to?
You were talking about the fact that you're relaunching your help center.
Yeah, so we're relaunching the help center and we're pushing the pricing webinar that we've got going live. At the end of May, there's well over 300 accountants and bookkeepers already signed up for that. So that's going to be a really good one. Really looking forward to it. Already starting to plan it all out. And I was asking ChatGPT about some challenging my opinions and stuff. So yeah, it's going to be a really good session. Other than that, just cracking on as always. Thank you very much to everybody that's joined us today, whether you're on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitch, wherever you've come from. We do appreciate your comments and questions, and it's what keeps us open and honest. And we will see you all again next week.
Cheers, everyone. Bye for now.
Goodbye.